Well, actually, we started last week, but we'll start over again. Basiso halacha base. Basis Rosh Nisus Lakoin. A regular Yisraelis, right? She's the Yisrael, who married a Kohen. V'chnisalon, she brings in Bein Avde Miloi, whether they're the slaves which are Milog, meaning that she gets them back at the end of the marriage. Bein Avde Tzom Baris, or slaves which remain with the husband at the end of the marriage. Harelu Yechle B'Truma, they're allowed to eat Truma. Okay? Ubas Kohen, she nisus Yisrael now the other way. She's a Kohen, and she married Yisrael. So again, no matter what type of slave, whether slaves that go back or slaves that remain, they can't eat truma because that's the status, now belongs to the husband vis-a-vis the right to eat truma. The Mishnah continues. A Yisrael married a Kohen, Umeis, and he died. Now, this is a case where he was a Kohen, but he died. She's pregnant. Her avadim should not eat truma. Why? Because her fetus, who's not yet a kohen, because he's not a kohen until he's born, has rights to the slaves. He inherits them, and therefore they're considered to be slaves of the fetus. The fetus is not yet a kohen until he's born. They can't eat truma, right? Because the fetus renders them unfit to eat, veino ma'achil, and cannot give them the right to eat. The Rabbi Yossi, Amrlei, so they said to him, me'achar she'ata banusuel, since you testified to us, abas Yisrael Kohen on a regular Yisrael who marries a Kohen, akbas Kohen l'Kohen, so too, the same thing should apply where the wife is a Kohen and the husband is a Kohen. And the fetus also will be a Kohen. But right now, the fetus is not yet a Kohen, right? Because he's still a fetus. So even though she's pregnant, she's a Kohen. She's pregnant with a Kohen's child. But since now she's pregnant, loyochla v'der b'truma, the slaves cannot eat trum nechel kosher uber because of the portion of the fetus. Okay? Is that a clear cut?
If she's a Kohen, so yeah. Don't the slaves eat truma?
Oh. So says Gemara, Amrei B'lezer said, You actually think like a Yerushalmi now, because the Bavli doesn't hold that way, but the Yerushalmi here does. It drove me nuts today because I didn't see anybody who actually speaks about it and in any great length. Well, actually, that's not true. People speak great length, but they say things which I find difficult. But this is what Yerushalmi says. Amar Lezer says, "Kini masni." So this is the way to read our Mishnah: Avadeha yochlu, her slaves can eat. In other words, avadim avdei milog can eat, not avdei tzom barzo, right? Slaves which belong to her, which she retains as part of her dowry, they can eat truma. Avadav lo yochu, his slaves can't eat. The lokein, if not, if you didn't say that, you'll come out with an impossible distinction, which would be hiocheles. She's allowed to eat because she's a kohenes, right? We're talking about a woman who was either. A woman who was married to a Kohen. We're talking about a case where she's married to a Kohen. Not the case where she's a Kohenis married to Yisrael. Either Kohenis married to a Kohen, or even a Yisraelis married to a Kohen. But not if she's a Kohenis married to Yisrael. Because even though she is herself a Kohenis, as long as she remains part of her husband's house, which she does as long as she's pregnant and she has a fetus and then a child, she can't eat truma. In order to be able to eat truma, she has to go back to her father's house, and that's only possible if she has no children by her husband who is Yisrael. So therefore, as long as she's... But right now, since she can eat truma herself, since she was the wife of a Kohen, and still has not returned to her father's house, so therefore, it's her avodi must be able to eat. Avodav lo yochlu, his slaves cannot eat because they are the meaning the slaves which belong to him because they're from Barzel or from their father's estate, right? So that they can't eat. The lo again, the lo kain yochelos. Otherwise, should be eating by avodav en ochlim. Have avodah en ochlim, and her slaves not be eating. So again, this is Yerushalmi and not Bavli. The Bavli holds, as long as you have a fetus, you're up, the avodim can't eat, and she can't eat. Nobody can eat. Not her and not the fetus, not the avodim. because the fetus makes a parcel veino machil. The Ushami here is the drawing distinction between she and her slaves versus the fetus's slaves, which means the ones which are not part of her dowry. But the Bavli does not hold that way. Okay, Rabbi Yehoshua b'shem Rabbi Yochanan said, imizu, if afilu hi lo tochel. Rabbi Yehoshua, like the Bavli, says, name Rabbi Yochanan, if it's from this, afilu hi lo tochel. You know what? If you want to, I disagree with you, Rabbi Lozer. I hold, again, like the Bavli, that even she can't eat because the ubar stymies her from eating. Her fetus stymies her from eating as well. Am Rabbi Chagai, kum Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chagai said in front of Rabbi Yossi, lo Rabbi Yochanan polik. It's not true. Rabbi Yochanan does not argue. Elamizu afili lo tochel. Rabbi Yochanan really holds like the Yerushalmi. He was the Yerushalmi. Right? He really holds like the Yerushalmi that she can eat, and her slaves can eat. But he's saying from our Mishnah, it's no proof for that. Because our Mishnah might be interpreted that the ubar, that the fetus impedes not just Avadim, but also her from eating. But he also holds the halacha that in fact, she may eat, again when she's married to a Kohen, or as the widow now of a Kohen, she may eat, and her Avadim may eat as well. Okay? So a case came from Rabbi Yishuv Halevi. Amar said, go out and see how the community conducts itself. Rabbi Avumashir Rabbi Yishuv Halevi said, how can you look at the community? Isn't this a halachic issue? It's a halachic issue. What are you going to look at the community? You have to pass in a shiloh, right? So rather the pshat is like this. Any halacha which is not clear and based in literally, it's weak in court. You don't know what its qualities are, meaning what the halacha is. Go and see how the community conducts itself, and conduct yourself that way. And we saw that the community indeed conducts itself like the Bavli, which is that neither she eats nor the slaves eat. So even though the strict letter of the law would be that she could eat and her slaves eat, and the fetus of slaves can't eat, but the way people conduct themselves is that people do not eat, neither she nor her slaves, as long as she is pregnant. Okay?
Is that is it your Shami?
You know, I want to take something back before you ask. The Kormei Abraham Moshe say, not about her, but that her slaves don't eat. Sorry, they don't say anything about her. That the slaves don't eat. Lo mechel means the slaves don't eat. We don't know exactly about her, but I'm sorry. Yes?
Is this more prevalent in Yerushalmi about going out to the community and see how they can...
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't think the Yerushalmi Bavli brings it down in this scenario, but I don't think it's more prevalent in Yerushalmi. You would think so, but I don't think that that's the case. I understand, you know, why you're asking, but I don't think that's necessarily the case. I'm Rabbi Amarah. This teaches us it should be instead of Eved, Eino Ubor Posos Mishu Roy Lechol. The strict letter of the law, whether the women are eat or not, whether Avadim eat or not, is not relevant, that since she is suitable to eat, because she is the widow of a Kohen, so the Ubor cannot render her unfit, because she is independently capable of eating. Again, this is Yushalmi. Bavli doesn't hold that way. For lo machilish mean eisha ena roi lechol, but the ubar, the fetus, cannot allow the slaves to eat who do not have the right to eat on their own right. They only have the right to eat because they are property. So even though the ubar will eventually be a kohen, since right now the fetus is not a kohen, it's only a fetus, it cannot allow given the right to eat. Tani, we learned Rabbi Shmuel, it should be brabiosi mishum aviv. Okay, there ain't no Abayi in the Yerushalmi. So it's Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum Aviv. Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, name his father said, Hoya Bas. Now, if the the changes the gears on all of his Nazareth, we change it to Hoysa La Bas. If she had a daughter besides the fetus, Machelis. She's allowed to eat. Then Avadim allowed to eat the truma. Now there's a cool case. There's halacha by nechassim muatim where there's very little property in the inheritance. So in that case, even though the sons are supposed to get the property, nevertheless the daughters get it, and the sons have to go beg, and that's called nechosim muatim. When there's very little property, takonat the rabbanan. The rice, of course, there's no inheritance for a daughter. Daughter doesn't inherit everything, but the rice. When there's very little property, so then the daughter inherits. She's there, daughter gets it, and the boys have to go beg. It was like progressive social legislation on the part of Chazal. So they made this legislation. So therefore, if there's not much property left, and she's pregnant, and she has a daughter, survive an extant daughter, so then the avodin get to eat, because no matter what, if the child is a son, so the property is going to go anyway to this girl, because there isn't that much to go around, right? So she gets it. And if the child is a daughter, so the way the Mefarshim explains to us, so the Bavli says this, Chazal didn't make takana for fetuses. In other words, Chazal gave daughters the rights over the property, right? But they only gave live daughters the rights over the property, not fetuses. So therefore, no matter what, it belongs to all the property, in this case, belongs to the daughter. Whether the fetus is a son, and it will belong to the daughter even after the son is born, or whether the fetus is a daughter. And when she's born, they'll both have to split it up, but right now she's not here, so Chazal didn't make a takana for somebody who's not in here. So therefore, in that case, the slaves get the truma as the property of the daughter. And that's basically what the one explains. Rabbi Amishim Reyogam said, Shekhen Riyal types him in Amazona, she can take it for her sustenance, since there's very little property. Now, says the Gemara, if that's the case, the Shekhen Riyal types him in Amazona. Wait a minute. So what about she herself? Forget about she has a daughter. She's the wife of a Kohen, right? And she gets fed too, right? The halacha is that a widow, as long as she lives in her husband's house, she gets fed, right? So therefore, forget about the daughter. She deserves the avodim. She has the right to the avodim, right? Because she can sell them in order to realize her money for food. So therefore, I don't understand why you have to say that the daughter is the one which allows the avodim to eat, even she herself. So says the Gemara, Uriah Healy, the box of Asa. Interesting thing. No, we don't look at that. You know why? Because the moment she demands her ksuva, she's l'abed, and it's a typo here, she's l'abed mizon aser. The halacha is, this is really so much again to ksuvas later on, the halacha is that if a woman continues to get fed in her deceased husband's house, as long as she doesn't demand her ksuva, the moment she demands her ksuva, she loses the right to any further sustenance. Okay? This is true nowadays. It's an amazing thing, because nowadays, of course, we don't enforce this. But if you think, if somebody has for child has an elderly mother who's a widow, right? It's not a child, right? Somebody has an elderly mother who's a widow, right? So she really doesn't own anything. The son owns everything, right? What is the right of the mother? Only to live in the deceased father's house and get supported, right? If the mother then demands her ksuva, she has the right to her ksuva, whatever paltry sum that actually is, and then you can kick her out of the house. Your own mother, right? Because she doesn't own anything in her deceased husband's house, right? She's just there at the grace of Chazal, literally speaking, by they're allowing her to stay there and get her food. But that's as long as she doesn't demand her ksuva. The moment she demands her ksuva, she's out. So since the moment she demands her ksuva out, this logic that the avodim are under lien to her, that she could sell them for food, is something which she could terminate at any time. But since she could terminate at any time, it's not considered to be really an ownership on her part, because if she terminated her rights by demanding a ksuva, the avodim would go free, right? Not free, but the avodim would no longer be under her jurisdiction. So therefore, if that's the case, it's rather under the jurisdiction of the fetus or next of kin, or wherever it is. So therefore, she doesn't have the right to claim them as her own, because she doesn't have an ongoing right to food. The daughter has an ongoing right to the property. Chazal didn't say, at some point, you by claiming something else, you renounce it. When they gave the daughters the chosim watim, they gave it to her on an ongoing basis. without any explicit termination. So therefore, the avodim belong. It's in essence, the avodim belong to her. They're under the daughter's permanent jurisdiction. But by the woman who's an amana, so they're not under her permanent jurisdiction. It might terminate any time, and therefore she can't allow them to eat truma because of her jurisdiction. Okay? Now, the Gemara asks a very interesting basic question here. First, it says, Vakash, I have a kash like this. It should be, instead of ksuva, according to Muslim Farshim, a truma. Truma, the, I shouldn't say both. Korban Eda and Ridbar. The Pnei Moshe, no, Korban Eda and Shari Teres to throw. The Pnei Moshe doesn't change it. But I'm going to go with the Korban Eda who changes it. The kash is like this. Truma is Midvar Toicha. Right? Umozen Abonis, and that the daughters get the Nechosim Uatim Midivremes to Rabbanah. Vidivrein Okin Dvar Torah, sandwich the Rabbanah and Divrein from their words, is that uprooted Dvar Torah? Meaning, how can her ownership of the Nechosim Uatim give the right for them to eat Truma? Her ownership of the Nechosim Uatim is only a rabbinic ownership. And the Kohanim have to eat Truma. I'm sorry, the Kohanim, the Avodim. In order to eat Truma, Truma's the Raisa, right? So how does the rabbinic ownership give them the right to eat Truma, which is the Raisa? So says, no, you're right. But rather, the top of my mouth and Ralph, command the Marmei Alein, keep the Alein, Mr. Meisters. We're going according to the opinion that holds that Bismanazeh, in our day and age, actually, right in times of Second Bais HaMikdash, the Bnei Yisrael accepted Truma upon themselves. They weren't required to give Truma, right? They gave Truma because they accepted it at Takana the Rabbanan. So Truma is Manazeh, Truma in our day and age is the Rabbanan. So since it's the Truma's Rabbanan, and the ownership of the, so therefore ownership of Avarim, which is only the Rabbanan, can work in order to be able to allow an individual to eat Truma, which is only the Rabbanan. Okay, so the Rabbanan works at the Rabbanan. Ashkechus Am Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi B'choluk Al, it should be Aviv. So comes out, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi argues on his father, as we'll see as this plot unfolds. Dom Rabbi Simon b'shem Chilfi, Rabbi Simon said name of Chilfi. Chilfi is Ilfa in the Bavli. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi, Vubar Akfar. I assume it's Rabbi Yossi Akfar, though I'm not sure. These three people, Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi and Vubar Akfar, Nimnu, they voted. Al, that was a major typo here. It says Avich should be Avir, airspace. They voted on airspace of Ashkelon, the Tiaru, and they said it's Torah. Now, as you know, when you enter Chutz Loretz from Eretz Yisrael, you become Tameh. So they took a vote: should Ashkelon be considered to be Eretz Yisrael or Chutz Loretz vis-a-vis this Tuma? And they came to the conclusion they voted it should be part of Eretz Yisrael, even though it's not. Ashkelon is not part of Eretz Yisrael. But they voted as part of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis Tumas Eretz Amim that it shouldn't become time for going there because it's so close to Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why they did this is because the V'tiaru, they made a Torah B'pi Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair because they had a tradition, they read Pinchas Ben Yair, which allowed them to come to this conclusion. What did Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair say? He said, Sh'omar, Yard Mayina, it should be Lesidki. We used to go down to the marketplace of granaries, that's Sidke in Aramaic, the Sidke Shal Ashkelon. We would go down to the marketplace in Ashkelon, the Lochem Chitim, buy grain, buy wheat, go in Lirenu, and go up to our own city, the Tovlim, and go to the Mikvah, the Ochlim B'Trumosenu, and eat Truma. Now, if Ashkelon did of Chutz Loretz, Mamish. So how many days do you think a person become Tomei for going to Chutz Loretz? Do you remember why Chutz Loretz is Tomei? Who remembers the Chutz Loretz Tomei?
They don't bury their bodies.
Right, so how long should you become Tomei if you go to Chutz Loretz?
One day.
A week, 7 days, right? 7 days, because Tumas Meis is 7 days, right? Yet here, Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair was a Kohen, said that when they went down to Ashkelon, they used to go to the mikveh that day and eat Truma that night. So obviously, obviously there must have been some Tuma. So the Tuma that they say was involved is the Tuma of Zov, because a Goy has a din of a Zov, right? And when he used to go in contact with the Goy, he used to have a din of Zov, And if you come kind of loose on, you're telling me for one day till nightfall. But you're not telling me for 7 days. Obviously, they only tell you 7 days if you have Tumas Eretz Amim. And obviously, there's no, there must not have been Tumas Eretz Amim here because they weren't metame for 7 days, only for until nightfall. So from this, based on Rabbeinu's B'yar's testimony that they ate truma right after nightfall, they came to the conclusion that there can't be tumas eretz ha'amim here. There can't be the tuma of chutzlaretz, right? So l'macha, they want to take it further. L'macha, the next day, they got together again, this synod here, and bichu limanas alev l'potru min ha'maisus. They wanted to get together and exempt Ashkelon from Meiser as well. U'masha Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Siyodim. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi pulls away his hands, Shemistamich Ben Kfar, with which he was leaning on Ben Kfar. Now, the Kormir Ibn Moshe take this literally. They say he was leaning on Ben Kfar, where he had his hands, you know, his arm, you know, interlocked, and he drew away from him. He drew back. But I don't know if that's necessary to say that, but it could be it's just allegorical, you know, that he was tight with Ben Kfar, they were getting along well, and passing the same things, but now he stopped. So Amarlo, Rabbi Shimon ben Yossi said to Ben Akfar, Bini, my son, Lama lo amarta, why don't you ask me? Lama lo amarta li, mivnei mama shachtis yadecha. Why don't you ask me, why did you pull away your hands? In other words, why did you stop poskining like us? And why did you not support us when we wanted to say that it's possible from Trubas and Maestros? Faisir milcha. And I would have told you had you asked me this question. You know, it's fine with the question, now it's fine with the answer. I would have told you. Esmol, yesterday, Aniti Macy, Vaniti Arti. Yesterday, it's all about the Rabbanans. By the Rabbanans, they're a principle of Hey Momru, Vahey Momru, right? They said it's also. They can say, well, it's Mutter. So, visiting that, he says, I could have said, Amitame, right? Because we made up the Tumah of Eretz Amim, and Amitar, that I'll make up where it doesn't apply. Which is legitimate, that I could have done. However, actually, today, when we deal with Truma, Ani Omer Lecha, I could tell you, Shemani Skabsha, Sheni Skabsha, Dvar Torah. Maybe Ashkelon was legitimately conquered, at least by the people left Egypt, as area of Eretz Yisrael. Hechani Poitra, Dvar Torah, what right do we have as the Rabbanim to come and exempt the Doraisa? So therefore, it comes out to be an interesting thing. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi argues on his father, on the name of his father. He said, "Bentav that Trumas Maisus is minus the Rabbanan," but by virtue of the fact that he clearly is not allowing Ashkelon to be considered to be Chutzlaretz vis-a-vis Truma because he's afraid of having it Truma be Doraisa, so he must tell Trumas Maisus is minus are Doraisa. Okay, we actually pass in that Trumas Maisus is minus are Rabbanan. That's the way the Rambam Baskins better call correctly.
In order for it to be derisive, doesn't have to harm certain requirements?
Rov Yerushalayim Aleh, most of the inhabitants right. of Eretz Yisrael. Right. So maybe he held not that way. You know, that's the way we Baskin. I don't know if he held that way.
Did we have the situation when Ashkelon being part of Eretz Yisrael, Shemitah and Shvi's?
By Gittin. Ashkelon carries Yisrael a Gittin. Right, but then me. Right, the people know to write a get properly there, but it's not. It's care Eretz Yisrael. That's precisely the point. It's not Eretz Yisrael itself. Okay. Yeah, I want you to know Yosef Davis just came back from Israel.
Yeah.
And no, I think it was Yosef Davis. Maybe it was Shirley, his son-in-law. He said they're building much more under Barak than under Netanyahu. So wherever you go, they're building more and more and more.
In the Shtachim,
yeah. He said...
What?
He has an article in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago about it.
Well,
so,
New York Times is going to...
Well, but that's the point. The point is that Barak can get more with, get away with much more than Netanyahu could.
Going back to this point about Rov Yerushalayim, you know, the Korban Avos cites other things that it has to be...
He doesn't say the Schachol Shvatim, does he?
No.
Because that's made by Shemitah.
Or Eretz B'yad Yisrael.
Yeah.
The Ein Aleim Shum Melech Masar Mea Umos.
Yeah, well...
That certainly didn't exist then.
Yeah, I don't remember that condition. I just remember Rov Yerushalayim Aleh. I mean, from the Rambam, that's all I remember. But, could be. There's a truva tzitzel yezer in chelik yud. He wants to say the bisman is a truva smaisis deraisa, because now rovish.
Because of
the
dina.
Because of the state.
I'm wondering, well, what would be the status if you had a camel?
Not because of Zionist reasons.
Yeah, camel against you who's there.
What?
What happens if you have a camel?
What difference does it make camel ministers now?
The ain aleim shum melech v'sar
mei ha'umah. No, that's okay. That goes, but whenever you have the constitutional government, Allah assumes that you go by majority. So if the majority are Jews, you're okay. I think. That's my recollection. Okay. Says check and see if your uncle has something on it. He might have written on that. It was safer. Yeah. Why is it telling me, when do you become telling because of Eretz Yisrael? Now, this is a fragment here, actually. The Korban Eder says there's a line missing here. It says that it should be right afterwards. It says, it should say, Rabbi Simon B'Shem, was a quote from Shvi, it's Rabbi Simon B'Shem, Rabbi Yoshua, B'Shem Rabbi Yehuda, Mishatish Arboim Yom. In Ashkelon, there isn't too much Eretz Yisrael automatically. But if a goy has lived in a house for 40 days, so then it's assumed to be Tomei. And now you won't remember necessarily, but you recall once I remind you. That's because we are afraid that within those 40 days, his wife or mistress miscarried, and they buried the fetus in the house. And the fetus, once he's 40 days old, actually is Mitami. So after goy has lived in the house for 40 days, you can have to assume that it might be Tomei, because maybe there's a buried fetus there.
Is this strictly by Kusim?
What? No, it says here Nochri. I don't think it's Kusim. I think it's any Nochri. Okay. In any event, could be I'm wrong, but that's what it seemed. Ashkatani B'Shem, Shem Aviv, it should be said. It said, then Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi found the name of his father. Then his father said, indeed, Me'alein kibbo alein, but some mice of his mother. Then mice said, only Durabana. Vamri said, oh, that's the case. Yo, so everything is fine. Danny, we can be Matir Ashkelon, because Maitris are anyway Midrabbonon, right? Umozun Abonos Bidivraim, Vomri Yos Mazir Abonon, Midivraim, Mozun Abonos Midivraim, and Mozun Abosis Divraim, the Divraim, Okinris Divraim, and this is going back to what we said before, not by Ashkelon, I'm sorry, but by the case of the Avodim owned by the daughter, because there's very little property. That the Rabbanan, okay, the Rabbanan, and everything is fine and hunky dory. Says the Meir Gemara further. Now here the gears is messed up, as you will see in a moment. If there were males, then the males allow to eat, and the kevos ein machilin. If they're females, they're not allowed to eat. Now we're talking about here, we've switched. We are talking about a limited inheritance, whereas a severely restricted amount of property. They're now talking about where there's property in abundance. It's a lot of property. So the males will inherit. The daughters will get a tenth of the property, and that's their dowry. The males will inherit. So then the males allow, even if there's a fetus, the males allow the avodim to eat. If the females do not allow the avodim to eat, right? If they're only males other than the fetus, the avodim can eat. If they're only females other than the fetus, the avodim cannot eat. If they're males, they can't eat. Now, here, it really is messed up, as I told you. It should really say, Hoyusham the Kevus, Ein Machilim. Why? If there are only females around, and of course we don't know what the fetus is, so there's only one suffix. The suffix is, what's the fetus going to be? Is the fetus going to be a boy or a girl? If the fetus is a girl, so it's not a problem, because a girl doesn't inherit anything where they're boys. So then the boys can allow the avodim now to eat. But if the fetus is a boy, so then the boy has a portion in the slaves. Since the boy is a portion of the slaves, and he's not yet a Kohen, because he's not yet born, so therefore the slaves cannot eat, because of the portion of the fetus, which is dormant. So since we don't know, it's only one suffix, so it'll be a girl or a boy, it's a suffix, one suffix, but suffix midvar Torah lachmir, a suffix, in that case, we have to be machmir. Okay? That if there are the cables, right? Wait. Yeah, but I think I said it wrong. If they're in a cave, it says they're only females now. And it's a boy, so he's going to inherit it. I said it wrong. I said it backwards. If they're only females, and we don't know what the fetus is. If the fetus is a girl, so then...
No
problem. The fetus is a girl, no problem. No, that doesn't work either. It's more complicated than thought. Let's look in the carbonate. That's the easy way to deal with it. Yeah, no, that's what we're getting to. We're getting there. We're not yet. So that, let's not do with the carbonate. It'll go much quicker that way. Look at the carbonate, the top line of carbonate. Holy Garcia, Rishon Baruchai Omer, Rishon Baruchai says, Chayusham Scharim, if they're males, Machilim, and they can eat, the fetus is not an impediment, they're Abarik Yitruma. The Kavis, if they're only females, A Machilos, then they can. Hayusham Scharim Machilim, if they're only the males, they can feed. Why Shushtei Sfekos? It's a Sfeka. What's the fetus? Safik Zachar, Safik Nekeva. It's a question whether the fetus is a male, which will cause a problem, because then he has a portion, or it's a female, which won't cause a problem. And even if it's a male, Safik Ben Kayama, Safik Inaba Ben Kayama, maybe it'll be a miscarried male, which will be okay as well, because there won't be a problem. So Shtei Sfekos, it's a two Sfekos, or a Sfeka, be Divretur Lakel, be the Rice of Mimeko, right? Even in the Dorisic miracle. The Kavos, however, if there are only females around now, ain't on Machilos. They can't allow the Eved to eat because Shusavik Echot, so they want Savik. Savik Ben Kayama, Savik Eno Ben Kayama. It's only Savik if it's going to be viable or not. Because if it's viable, no matter what it is, it's a problem. If there are only daughters right now, if it's viable, no matter what, it's a problem. Because if it's a male, so that fetus will inherit everything, right? If it's a female, she gets a portion among the other females. And her portion impedes the avodim from eating, right? So the moment, if there are only males now, so then because it's fake, or you can say, be lenient and say, yeah, it's a suffix if it's a female, which won't be a problem. And even if it's a male, it might not be a problem because he won't survive, right? But if it's they're all right now females, so it's a problem because the only suffix is whether the kid will survive, the fetus will survive or not. It's not a double suffix, because no matter what it is, male or female, if it survives, it's going to present a problem, and therefore, in that case, we can't be lenient. Okay? Says the Gemara, that's the last line of the Gemara, second to last line of the Gemara. No matter what, if they're all females now, it's a problem. Zohru, he's a male, cool, he's there, everything belongs to him. The keva, and if she's in the keva, nas b'chukah imhen, so she gets her borscht together with the other females, and of course that constitutes a problem. Okay, look it out. Ha'ubar va'yovam va'erusin. Now, an ubar is a fetus. A yovam means the woman, the widow of a kohen has a yovam who has to be miyavim her. It's the other way around. Sorry, the ubar is the fetus. The yovam is if you have the widow of Kohenis, who had no children, but she is a widow of Israel, and now there's a yovam who may do evil upon her and make her again the wife of Israel. And Erusin, if a daughter of a Kohen is betrothed to Israel, even if they haven't yet consummated their marriage, Vacherich, and the if you have a deaf mute, or who has relations with a Jewish girl, with a Kohenis, or a Bentei Shoshanim V'Yomechot, a good boy who's 9 years and 1 day old, who's unfit for Kohenis, for Kohen, or Kohenis, and has relations with a Kohenis. So all these cases, post-Lim, they render the Kohenis unfit. And if they're Kohanim, lo ma'achilim, they do not allow they don't allow the woman, the widow, to eat. Safik shuben teisha shanim yom echad. If it's a safik, whether he's 9 years and 1 day old or not, safik shevish teisar, it's a safik in cases where he's trying to enact a marriage with a woman, whether he has two hairs or not. Safik lo, safik shevish teisar, safik lo evi. I don't know if he has them or doesn't have them. Or the following case, Interesting case. Nafal bais olav v'al bas yo'achiv. You have a case where a man had two wives. I really should have brought my nachlas via. I keep forgetting to bring it. But we haven't needed it until now, really, for a while. But you haven't, it's not, this one's not hard. You have a man who has two wives. One of them is his brother's daughter, his niece. A house falls on the husband and one and the wife who is a niece. So now, if the husband died first, right? So then there's no yibum, because that means after the death there was a tzoras, there was an erva, right? The brother whose daughter was married to his own brother cannot marry his own daughter, right? So therefore there's an erva. She is forbidden to be misa bemes, and therefore her co-wife is forbidden to be misa bemes as well, right? No yibum. However, if the daughter of the brother, the niece, died first, then there is yibum, right? Because then, by the time the house took the life of the husband. So by that time already, there was no co-wife who was an erva, because she was already dead. So that's another type of sofik. So in that case, we say Tarosa, the co-wife choletes lo misyabem, she does chalitza na yibum. And the question is, what does that have to do with all these hekes of truma? The Gemara is going to deal with that. On Rabbi Shimon, Shimon says, bezumi das adin loke. In this matter, the strict characteristic of judgment is damage. In other words, this doesn't sound right. Shema asu leave soul. If these guys, such as an Uber, causes a person to be unfit to eat truma, in one hand, if it's a masal achil, should be able to cause a person to eat truma on the other hand, right? So again, if we say that as the fetus of a Kohen, let's say it this way. We say the fetus of Yisrael renders a Kohenes unfit to eat truma, right? Because she's carrying his fetus. So let's see the flip side. That the fetus should render the daughter of Yisrael suitable to eat truma, right? Because if he can pass a one, he should be able to be reflexive. If he renders one unfit, he should be able to render another fit, right? She must leave soul if he renders somebody unfit. Should be able to render somebody else fit. If he made a master of soul, if it doesn't work to render somebody unfit, then it shouldn't be cause something to be fit. In other words, it should be reciprocal and reflexive. It says Marvioso, Rabbi Shimon. It's not a good thing Rabbi Shimon said. It's a logical spara. Why it's not reflexive? In my time, there are one of what's logical the rabbis who argue. They say, Heim yochlu, heim yachil. Interesting concept. We dash in the same word. It says they will eat and they will cause to eat. A roi lechol, somebody is suitable to eat. Ma'achil can cause others to eat. V'shein a roi lechol, somebody cannot eat himself. Eino ma'achil, he can't cause others to eat. So, who can't eat himself? A fetus. Obviously, a fetus is not allowed yet, not capable, but is also not allowed yet to eat truma until he's born. So therefore, since he can't eat truma, he cannot feed truma as well. Okay, so says the Gemara. Hey, Simon, they ask a kash like this. Hare mamzer. Very interesting case. You have a kid who's a mamzer. Now this mamzer is the son of the child of a kohen. Of a Yisrael and a Kohenis. Let me check if that's the case. No, the other way around, says the Kormorator. You have a woman who's Yisrael, who's married to a Kohen. And the halacha is that as long as she has a child from that Kohen, she can eat truma, right? What happens if her child died, but her child had a child? She could still eat truma, right? Doesn't have to be first generation, it could be second generation. What happened if her child who died had a child who was a mamzer? So it's still considered to be sufficient for her to eat truma. So if she herself produced a mamzer, she can't eat truma, right? Because she's not suitable to vakuna anymore. But if her child produced a mamzer, and then the child died, So then can the grandmother still eat truma because of the child of the child? You see the question? So the Gemara says, yeah. Says the Gemara,
the moms are still a kohen.
No. There's no such thing as a moms and a kohen by definition. It's a product of an improper union, so it can't be a kohen.
So
it doesn't matter though. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. If a kohen, a woman's married to a kohen, has progeny, even grandchildren, who are not kohanim anymore because her son-in-law was not a kohen, they still allow the grandmother to eat truma. For that purpose, they'll still have to be progeny.
The grandfather, grandmother clause.
The grandmother clause, right. So even though she's not, a kohen,
at her husband's dead,
and her grandson is not a kohen, but since at one point she was married to a kohen, and this is an issue of that union, so ever she could still eat truma. Okay? So it says, when I see her mom said, who ain't no roi lechol, he can't eat himself a machil, but he can cause others to eat, his grandmother to eat. So why can't here also fetus cause others to eat? Shani udirsi, no, there's even udirsi, it says, you lead bais. Anybody born in the house, and he's born, but the fetus is not born yet. Me'at if that's the case, say lud ma'achil v'she'en lud ena ma'achil. Maybe we'll say that only. Now the truth is, if I were making the gears up, the Kormanei B'nei Moshe don't do this, but I would change the gears here. I would say me'at instead of me'at ha'yol ma'achil she'en yolid ena ma'achil. I would say me'at yolid posel. Let's say just like you're saying that. In order to be able to cause somebody to eat truma, it has to be you lead by somebody who's born in the household. So say, in order for somebody to possible somebody, we should have to also be born in the household. I'm changing the gears on my own volition here. So me'ata yod posel, v'shena yod eno posel, right? Let's say that, just like you're saying, that in order to be able to allow a grandmother to eat truma, the grandmother clause, you need to have a born child, right? So let's say in order to render somebody unfit to eat truma, you also need to have a born child. Now, here we're talking about here, obviously, a bas kohen who married Yisrael, right? And right now she doesn't have a born child. So why can't she eat truma now? Right? Why can't she eat truma? Because she has a fetus? Let's say just like in order you need a born child in order to eat, you need a born child in order to pass, right? So it's interesting. The Ora Yosher asked a question here, which he blives shver on. He doesn't answer, I want to use as a basis for saying making a statement. The Ora Yosher says, "Yeah, but this is only a question one way." Says one, you can't ask the question the other way. That if the wife is a Israelis.
No, one second.
Right. If the wife is Israelis. Okay. I'm not sure I want to tell you Bert's question because now I realize how complicated it is. But his question is on the gears, how it's written here. Here's what's written, says that if it's born, the kid is born, he allows to eat. Let's say if the kid is born, then he allows to eat. If the kid is not born, he doesn't allow to eat, right? So I said, if that's the case, how can a woman was a bas Yisrael. I don't know if I'll get it right. Forget it. Let's just scratch it because I'm not sure I'm going to get it right. So in any event, so the more I ask a question again, may I tell you all my posel, v'sheri yol eino posel, why do you say that the fetus causes psul? Shine the sea shovel base of you. Now I'll tell you what. I'm talking about a kohenes who's married to Yisrael. And Aquinas was married to Yisroel, has to, in order to be able to eat truma, she has to be able to go back to her father's house. As long as she has a fetus, she can't go back to her father's house. I mean, she can get up and go. But she's not going back to square one, pre-marriage. So that's why,
even the fetus isn't born yet?
Right.
Because it's still a
Tavashino. Yeah, but it's attaching her. It's not Bolo Olam in terms of being a Kohen. but it's still pulling her, or in terms of being Yisrael, but it's still pulling her towards her husband's house. Again, this is all just figurative speaking, but that's the idea. So that's why, even though the kid is not born, he can still pass, right? There's a says, in order to go back to eating truma, if she's a born a Kohen, a Kohenet, she has to be able to go back to the father's house. Probably Shemer Siyova, to exclude somebody who's waiting, maybe she'll be Bistia Bemes. And a Kinneret has to go back like she was in her youth. Probably Muberis, as opposed to a woman who's pregnant, who's no longer in her youth. Okay? Rabbi Yisrael said, Hadamras teaches us, as just following through what we just said, her Uber also so kamamish, the Uber is considered to have full status as if he exists, leave soul to render some of your fit, but also kamamish lachiba not to give to eat. Melan the Rabbana plea, in the words of the rabbis argue. The Marzira said, Tani Tamil learned over there, Arusa, an interesting case. Arusa, a woman who's a Kohanist, but she's affianced to a Kohen. No, it's the other way. A woman who's Israelis, affianced to a Kohen, right? She can't eat truma yet, right? She can't until she's married. Shomer Siyova. Shomer Siyova to a Kohen, but she's not yet married to the Kohen. She was once, but now she's not. She's in between Kohen husbands. Umuberes. And a woman who's pregnant with a fetus, which will be a Kohen. Mishamas is a Karen. They only pay, however, if they eat truma, they're not allowed to, but if they eat truma, they only pay the principal and not the additional 20%, which is the fine. Now, that tells us they're really allowed to eat truma. It's just that there's a superficial, a rabbinic reason, perhaps, why they can't eat truma, right? So we see here clearly that a woman who has a fetus in her can eat truma, mikradi, right? Just to prevent their doing superficially, that obviously these rabbis are going to previous Gemara say the fetus impedes upon one freeing truma, right? So Marakayam, what are you talking about? Ibaskoin Shisis Israel. Now this last case, actually the Gemara is going to say that the case of the pregnant woman is different than the two previous cases. What are we talking about? In Babaskoin Shisis Israel, we're talking about the daughter of Kohen married to Israel. I feel you let us say men bunny men lo. Even if she has already had children from him, children, not just fetuses, she's not considered to be a Zara vis-a-vis eating truma. And that's an interesting concept. She's not allowed to eat truma. The rice is not allowed to eat truma. But even if she does, she doesn't have to pay the chomesh. She doesn't have to pay the extra fine. Why is that? Because she has residual kedusha of her having been born a Kohenes. Okay? She doesn't have to pay the extra 20% if she eats the truma, right? However, so again, in Babas Kohen Shanisa Yisrael, Philim Yoleda Seyven Obonim, and a Zoro, she's not a Zoro vis-a-vis truma. She still doesn't have to pay 20%. So that can't be the Chiddush. That's not a Chiddush. Elkenoke, I'll tell you about the following case. Babas Yisrael, a regular Israeli, Shanisa is going to marry the Kohen. So it says here that she doesn't have to pay the 20% either. If you're going to say it, argue the previous Gemara, Uber also so kimamish lipsol. If you're going to say it, the previous Gemara, sorry, if you're going to say it, the previous Gemara, that Uber also kimamish lipsol, velosu kimamish lachil, they only made him like he exists vis-a-vis to render somebody unfit, but not vis-a-vis allowing somebody to eat truma. Lama mishamas lakerim, maybe mishamas lachomish. Why shouldn't they have to pay the additional fifth? Yisham lakerim lachomish. Let them pay the additional fifth. So it must be that you say that women who have a fetus from a Kohen, they're already considered to be, have the status of a Kohen, right? That argues in the previous Gemara. The previous Gemara said a woman has a fetus from a Kohen, does her no good. She ain't a Kohen until the kid is born, right? But here we see that it's not true. We see a woman who has a fetus from a Kohen, otherwise it'd be no Chiddush. We see a woman who has a fetus from a Kohen, is already considered to be, for certain respects, a Kohen. Okay, it says, this is a new Gemara, actually. Cheresh posel. Now, not just a Cheresh posels, but also a cotton posel. So what the Mishnah says, and the Shari Teres Yisrael says, next case going on a cotton, not a Cheresh. Taira b'chia ishto shel. Now, here it says, ishto shel Cheresh. A woman who's married to a Cheresh, b'shel shoyte and a shoyte, tovel, and she's a Kohenes. Tovel's mechek bala, she goes to the mikvah after having a relationship with her husband, because become Baal Keri when you have relations, even if you're the woman. And then Ochel can go and eat Truma. Now it says the Tritarian, so, and the Orsamech also really goes crazy on this Gemara, although he doesn't have a good answer because he doesn't want to change the Girsa. But he says, Aki said by Cherish. Cherish has Nisuin the Rabbana. The right of Cherish can't get married. A deaf mute can't get married. But the Rabbana, he can get married. And therefore, if a deaf mute got married to a Kohenes, at least the Rabbana, she should be forbidden to eat Truma. So how could the Gemara say here that the wife of a deaf mute can toivo from having a relationship with the husband because she's not really married to him, and go and eat truma can't be, at least mirah bonnet saucer. So that's when he actually changes the girsa. He changes it to isto shel kata, a woman who married a katan, that's not a marriage. Vishal shaitan, of course, a woman who married shaitan, that's not a marriage. So she's the vels mechek baila, she can go to the mikvah after having relations with her husband, who's not really a husband, vochelos and eat truma. Rabbi Abraham married Rabbi Matanya. Chadamai, the one said, it should, again, the Korban Shartar Israel changes this consistently. He says, B'katan poitho. A katan renders her unfit to eat truma. The Choranamai, the other said, katan yibim. A katan can may actually do yibum, right? So, which of course we know that Kiro Kotlin, once he's 9 years old, can do Yibum. If you don't know if the kid is already 9 years old, which case his Bia is a valid Bia, or not by 9 years old, then his relation is not valid. So, he's Kamishu Bentesh Shem Yamech Lipsol, Yamachman. As soon as he's 9 years old, in order to do Pasler, if he's unfit to marry her from eating truma. But he's not considered to be 9 years old vis-a-vis the halacha of having relations with her and affecting a yibum with her. So we're machmir on the situation, right? Safik shehevi shtei saros, safik shlevi shtei saros. And also, if we're not sure if he has two hairs or not, which makes him a full adult, right, and who can marry a woman, it's kami, and here the Koshari Tersel changes it. I don't know how you don't change it. Kami shalo hevi shtei saros, shalo la'achil, you have to assume l'chumra, that he doesn't have two hairs, and he can't allow somebody to eat truma. Okay? Let's just get to the Mishnah. Nafla ba'is alav ba'as achiv. The case here in the Mishnah, where a house falls on him and his niece, who's one of his wives. Ve'yidu ezimem me'esrishu, no, no, which saw it first. So says more of a hach a sin on misne, it should be tzoros. V'hach a sin on misne tzoros. What does tzoros have to do with this? We thought we left this long ago. You're bringing me back again. Go wives. What do I have enough for trouble with this? Says the one, you're right. It was just got left in it. Begin the tina, and here we put in the word spekos from the line before. Begin the tina, spekos, nina, and suffix soros. We figured once a day about all kinds of suffix situations, let's make life difficult for you and cause you anguish, pains of memory, and remind you about another unpleasant suffix, that of soros.